Welcome to the Hockey Guys, the best college hockey radio show in the country.
Eddie. Little shout out, Denny Gunderson, longtime Zamboni driver that we all got to know back in the 80s, Jeff. We're
awesome.
Dating ourselves.
Cheers, Denny.
Cheers, buddy. Hang on. Cheers.
Hey, hams to you.
Who would leave the back door open to the rink and we would all sneak in, right?
Or when
what a gem of a man.
Or when we went back to finish our degree and we couldn't get a ticket from Gino, we would have Denny leave the back door open and help him with the Zamboni door.
And my biggest memory is he'd wear a tuxedo and a top hat at the state championship game driving the Zamboni around state hockey tournament in North Dakota. Love them.
Oh,
great man.
Hey, Eddie. Great job on the hams beer this morning.
Oh, yeah. Nice,
I haven't
refreshing.
Had a beer this cold since like an hour ago, I think.
Been sitting in the car all week, so we should be good. Hey, Valley Imports, the Hockey Guys, brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com. So, Valley Imports, thanks for being here with the Hockey Guys. Jeffrey, what do you think?
Well, first, before we start, let's do some introductions. Doc Phil, he's in Sarajevo with USA Hockey. We got Coach Dean Wilson here. We got Crazy Eddie. And I'm the wise one. Eddie, I'm trying to leave that in for that.
What's that?
And I'm the wise.
Well, again, you don't need to listen to attorneys because they don't have any continuing education
fight
in North Dakota.
You guys fight while I let our guest in. Elliot Bates downstairs freezing. I'm going to go let him in.
Oh, keep Elliot out. He's a young kid.
Who invited Elliot Bates, Wills?
Jeffrey did.
Hey, we had some great scores.
This hams is way too cold and way too fresh to have it have to be shared. But I invited a lot of folks here this morning.
Yeah, get the warm six-pack out there for Elliot.
I invited a Bismarck guy, Zach Fleur, a big alum from North Dakota in. But I said, hey, the beer is going to be cold and the beer is going to be plenty. But we're here by ourselves, Jeff.
Hey, lock the door. Wills just left. Hey, listen, UND last night, I don't want to say that was a must-win last night for North Dakota, but if there was one, that was about the closest to a must-win last night.
Every game's a must-win.
Because you have Denver sitting at 4, North Dakota sitting at 16-17. They got to jump into that pairwise, at least sitting at the number 10.
Actually, after last night, they're sitting at 27, so that's a pretty long shot. That's way out there. But again, we'll talk about some games, Jeff, right? Let's kind of talk about last evening. And for those folks in across the river, you know, another tough one. Lots of overtime games. Lots of overtime games. So the Big M and the Little M. And if you look at the logos, there is one that appears box larger than the slant. But anyway, Michigan, 3-2 over Minnesota in overtime, Jeff. What do you think on that one?
You know what? Minnesota scored in the third period. Jimmy Clark scored to tie it up and went into overtime. Michigan ended up having a power play 4-on-3 opportunity, and you can't give a team like that an opportunity. After the game, Coach Bob was frustrated, felt they had that game in hand, felt they had played well enough to play. So he was frustrated, but it was a big win for Michigan. The battle for the Big Ten is always a feat to accomplish, and Minnesota's had a heck of a season this year. So is the Michigan State, so has Michigan. Ohio State's coming along now, Eddie.
Ohio State over Wisconsin. So Wisconsin's friend of ours, Mr. Hastings, coaching there, kind of in the same boat that our teammate Brad Berry is in, North Dakota, Jeff.
Yeah, well, before we leave the Big Ten, Michigan State leads the Big Ten, followed by Minnesota, Ohio State, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And if anyone's going to catch Michigan State here, we've got Minnesota and Ohio nipping at their heels. Michigan State's got 43 points, Minnesota 39, Ohio State's got 37. Now you look at the North Dakota game last night against Denver. Boy, North Dakota for that first period and a half played well.
Need some goal scorers, Jeff.
You know, how do you compensate if you don't have natural goal scorers? Right. You got to have the party in front of the net, baby. You got to go hard to the net. And every time you get an opportunity, especially when you're on the road, Eddie, you got to put the puck in the net. But North Dakota played well. That first power play opportunity they had in that first period, boy, they had chances. That puck was just sitting on the side the whole 2 minutes. They could not make a good pass, and guys were open. They were just battling the puck, whether it was the mile high, whether it was whatever. You don't look at me, Wills. I have no freaking clue how to turn your mic on.
Massachusetts over.
Hey, you got to grab a mic.
Boston College, 3-2 last night. So
just like when you play your video games.
Boston College comes out and stays number one after losing to Massachusetts, who moves to number 11. So out on the Eastern Front. And the other one that kind of caught me was Mass Lowell, UMass Lowell, Northeastern. Was sitting out in the 30s, and now Northeastern is beginning to creep into the 20 to 22 slot as we sit this morning. And, of course, Providence, Boston University, BU, has been on an interesting little slide, but yet they stay because, again, everything is bunched up. And the NCHC hurt themselves early by not winning out of conference games, and now it's starting to be a
challenge. It hurt them big time. Where the Big Ten won those games, the NCHC dent, and you're, Eddie, 100% right. But we have an interesting caller on the line. Dave, good morning.
Hey, how are you guys doing today? Listening to the show, it sounds great. A lot of upsets in college hockey, but I have a challenge that I'd like to throw out there that if the U.S.-Canada game today, if Canada wins, I think Doc Phil should sing the Canadian National Anthem. And if the U.S. wins, I think Dean Wilson should sing the U.S. National Anthem solo, but like maybe so low we can't hear him, but at least he could sing it.
Hey, we'll take that bet on Dean's behalf.
Yes, yeah. We accept that.
Hey, Dave, I saw you this morning at Hornbacher's in the half price bucket buying chocolate for your wife today. Good job, you cheapskate.
Well, you're on. I'm on a fixed income now, Dean. So you know I don't.
Yeah, you just got back from like Cancun or Jamaica. You're on a fixed income.
Hey, we'll be back. You're on the Hockey Guys after this intermission. Our sponsor is obviously Hams Beer, Beverage Wholesalers. They've been with us here for a while, and again, cheers. So brewing that true family tradition using purest water and choicest barley grain and hops. We'll be back here on the Hockey Guys.
Welcome back to the number one college hockey radio show in the country.
Jeff, I wasn't aware that you had a young lady that you could have wake up in the morning and give you the welcome to the Hockey Guy.
Hey, that's for our listeners out there. The best ag reporter in the country, top 50. We thank her for doing so. Hey, before we visit with Elliot Bates, we also need from Concordia College, we also have to say that we got Coach Scott Sandelin from Minnesota Duluth coming on at 8:35. Big win last night against Arizona State. 9:35. Thank you there, Addison.
Lots of rumors.
The top 10 goaltenders in college hockey have been announced for the Mike Richter, the top goaltender in college hockey award. 3 out of the 10 are NCHC goaltenders. NCHC has the most goaltenders in that list. Denver senior Matt Davis, Omaha junior Simon Latskozy, Western Michigan graduate student Cameron Rowe. So
Davis went down last night. That could be.
Boy, did he ever? Was it a hip? Was it a knee?
That was a Hams beer cracking here, Jeff.
Oh, I thought that was his leg, actually. But also, hey, listen, Dave Mornfield, who called in, we visited with, a big challenge out to Coach Wilson here on singing the national anthem.
And Doc.
But The NCHC has four players playing on USA Hockey World or the World
the Four Nations tournament.
Omaha forward Jake Gensel, North Dakota forward Brock Nelson, UND defenseman Jake Sanderson, Colorado College defenseman Jacob Slavin. 18 of the players on USA Hockey played college hockey for 10 different schools, with North Dakota one of only four schools with multiple alumni playing on Team USA. 8 o'clock tonight, USA versus Canada. It's a heck of a game.
Shout out to my son Jordy and grandson Brooks. They are in process of getting themselves out to Boston. So they're going to go out and catch a couple of games in Boston next week. So hopefully they can go and make sure that Dean Wilson sings.
Now, listen, had an opportunity to communicate with Elliot Bates, assistant coach Concordia College, yesterday, and taking a look at the MIAC, the standings in the MIAC, man, they're really tight. But Concordia is sitting in the middle of the pack, albeit towards the upper top of that list. Elliot, what is it going to take this year for Concordia to get one step further in its progression, and also next year? What do you see?
Good coaching. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. Well, there you go. So, you know, just, you know, continuing to get the buy-in more each year, you know. So we will have, you know, we're going to be losing a lot this year. So we're going to be graduating over 10. So, you know, there's going to be a big culture shift coming up. But, you know, we love the guys we've had. You know, guys have been, you know, doing well for us for 4 years. And, you know, with the MIAC standings right now, how they are, you know, there's just so many tiebreakers. You know, last night we goes down as a tie with Bethel, you know, but we lose the shootout, so we lose that extra point. So now we're in a tie with St. John's, who we do a home and home with this next week. But then we would win the tiebreaker with St. Scholastica and St. Olaf, who have 2 points, or Scholastica has 2 more points than us, and St. Olaf has 3 more points than us, and a win is 3 points. So potentially this next week, we're going to be going down to the second or third tiebreaker, just like last year. So it's tight every year.
I might have to go in, Mr. Bates, and if you talk about trying, and there's kind of fun things that you don't hope things happen. You tell your players they will happen. You need to get 6 points.
Absolutely. So
yeah, go win. Those are the most infamous words ever. So here's what's great about the MIAC is that it's probably as tight a league within the top six teams as you've seen in your recent, I would assume.
Absolutely. Anyone can beat anybody in any given night. It's just you look at the scoreboards and you think you can make a prediction, and no one can. It's as crazy as it has been in the three years I've been here. So, yeah, just a lot of parity. And then, you know, with this rule change this year, you know, that we'll kind of see how everyone's recruiting classes this next year, too. So we'll be one of the bigger ones to watch.
Let's not get into recruiting, because then we're going to cross this thing over and go into the danger zone. But have you noticed what Elliot wore in here today? I mean, you're a Minot guy, and you're a Thunder Bay guy, and I'm a Warroad guy. Hey, Elliot, thanks for the respect.
Yeah, there you go.
you found that sweatshirt out in the parking lot laying there?
No.
You actually paid for that?
I've got guys from Boston, David McCarthy, calling me saying, Eddie, I need a Warrior. I need a Warrior for my grandson. It's his favorite logo. I said, I'll get that to happen. So he's getting a Warrior hat, actually Monday, from my sister Jerry, going out to the Four Nations.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, you talked about the change in the rule with allowing Canada hockey players into NCAA teams. Right?
Mm-hmm.
How has that really impacted further down, you know, NCHC, Big Ten, CCHA? Now we're talking about the MIAC. How has it, from your perspective?
If you just kind of look at how COVID was, you know, even, you know, with junior hockey, like, and how it was just that push down effect, you know, like how competitive the Tier 3 level even got that year. If you look at even Coach Olam's team in Wilmer that year, before he was at Concordia, that COVID year, his team was insane. For, you know, that was basically a Tier 2 team, but, you know, just with guys not being able to play up north. So, but every time you see one of these schools, you know, commit a guy from the major junior, that's one less spot, you know. And so I don't think it'll be as drastic as some people say, but there's definitely going to be – it's definitely going to be an effect. So guys that, you know, usually would be committed Division I by now in the North American League, you know, some kids are starting to get a little nervous on that. So some guys need to kind of just look at what else is out there and, you know, kind of look at their education and what schools offer.
So, and a good an opportunity to play damn good hockey,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely.
Are you able to say some local boys that have committed?
We got Will Hofer from Fargo-Shanley. That's one I can say, but we got a couple more in the pipeline. Hopefully we'll have some more to announce publicly in the next month or so.
Rumor is you got about three to five local kids?
That's kind of the goal. So it's we've been some guys we've been talking to for 3 years now, a few of these guys, and but developed a relationship with them, and you know, we'd love to have them at the collegiate level, but you know, they're still playing and still got to make their decisions. So.
Buy local, right, Wills? We were talking about that in the car, waiting for you to warm up so you could get from your vehicle to the front door this morning. Hey, I ran into a guy from Thunder Bay last night at the Squirt International. He played for the Thunder Bay Twins, so he's not young. And I said, "Do you know the Wilson name?" He said, "Never heard of him." I said, "Okay, great. Then Dean is old."
Well, he should have said he played for the Thunder Bay Thighs, and then that would have brought him back to the Olgi Oglethorpe years, right?
You know, getting back to our metro area of great players.
And
Elliot, we chatted a little bit where, you know, people always come up to me about Fargo, the community, West Fargo, Moorhead. And I like that you're getting guys from our own backyard because that fills the seats too. It's easy as a family. You get a dozen people. That's what I always keep pushing as a former administrator. How do we fill those seats? A lot of programs, you know, and I'll say even the Fargo Public Schools, that's not their main goal. But I think it's a piece of it, you know, to get your peers, fill it up, stack it up. It's great hockey in the MIAC, Fargo Forest, obviously. But I keep pushing out about promoting, you know, I try to do my best with Concordia to get more people out. But it helps when you got great athletes in your own backyard.
Absolutely. So I hope to continue that trend going, you know, get a little, it's been growing a little bit each year and want to keep that going. So
are you getting the support from the administration there real quick? Or do you not, you want to say, I want to pump, I'd rather punt that one, Jeff. It's 4th and 15.
No, you know, they've been helping us a little more each year. And I think, you know, the way things are going, I think, yeah, things are trending in the right direction. So
all it'll take is a little NIE mail from the right family name, and I think you'll be all right there.
You know, you, Wills, you talked about local kids jumping into college, getting opportunities. There's a group of kids locally here, two to Colorado College that will be announced, St. Cloud, University of North Dakota. And maybe the best one out there has not yet committed. And then you got the group of kids that have committed to Concordia. It's awesome for the local kids. Eddie!
Hey, thank you. Citywide Electric, our intermission sponsor. Citywide Electric, experience you can trust for design, repair, and installation of any home or business electrical project. That's citywideelectricnd.com. And we'll be back on the Hockey Guys with Scotty Sandlin, coach at University of Minnesota Duluth, the Bulldogs, and come back and join us here in a minute on the Hockey Guys.
Welcome back to the Hockey Guys. Jeff Bradle, Eddie Christian, Coach Dean Wilson. And we have the opportunity to visit with one of the best college hockey shows in the country. Hockey shows, hockey coach in the country. Excuse me, Coach Scott Sandlin. From Minnesota Duluth. You know, I don't know if you saw that picture that Eddie just sent you, but Ham's Beer is one of our sponsors. And after about 2 hours of show prep, that's what kind of happens, you know. You know what Ham's Beer like is on the range. It's brewed from the sky blue waters, buddy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad you guys are having some fun there.
Big win last night, huh?
It was good. Yeah, we needed it. We needed it. It was a good game. It was nice to get the overtime win. So hopefully we can find a way to get three more points tonight.
Well, listen, I went through your freshman list and sophomore list. You have a team primary. That's Eddie, not me, Scott. He's kind of turned since college years, but you've got a young team, Scott, really young team.
Yeah, compared to a lot of teams in college and even in our league, we do have a young team. But, you know, we got some hockey players, and sometimes hockey players don't care how old they are. But you can tell when we play some teams that have a lot of guys with college experience, whether they're fourth-year, fifth-year guys, you know, it certainly makes a difference. You can't replace experience, but our young guys are growing and really excited about them as a core group moving forward, not just this year, but in the next two or three years.
Well, I mean, they're damn good players. I mean, you are right. If you can hang on to those guys and keep them in your program without turning pro, it's your program set for several years to come. One player on your team, and I wanted to visit with you about him, Dominic James, mm-hmm. What an absolute stud. I mean, he's a leader. I just love watching that kid play.
Well, he's got a motor, for sure. You know, I think he was in a little bit of a scoring drought, so it was nice to see him get a goal and an assist last night, especially scoring, because we need him producing here down the stretch, because our guys our younger guys had kind of been doing it, but it was nice to see him get out of that. But yeah, he's been good. We missed him, obviously missed all last year with an injury and decided to come back. So it was an easy choice for us to name him captain. He's been a really good leader for us. Obviously one of our top players that plays in all situations. So hopefully he can finish strong here and help us, you know, do well in the playoffs, and then he'll be on to the next level at some place. I know he's a Chicago draft pick, but we'll see how that goes. But, you know, we'll certainly miss him when he's gone, but it was good to see him get out of that scoring slump last night.
Hey, Scott, Dean Wilson here. I got two questions for you. The first one is, mm-hmm. Did Sandy give you that T-shirt I gave him, the hockey guys? He didn't, did he?
He told me, he said you had something for me, but I haven't seen it yet.
You can't trust a goalie, can you?
No.
You can't trust a goalie. And then my other question is, I've kind of kicked this dead horse, but, you know, the NIL, mm-hmm. the open with juniors, good thing, bad thing. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, it's certainly a lot different world, Dean, than it's been. Again, it seems like it's changing. I know they just, I think, made a ruling too again on whether you can opt in or opt out, and if you guys are familiar with that, with the scholarships or increasing scholarships up to potentially 26 or not. We weren't sure because we're a multi, you know, Division II school, not a full Division I school, so there was they hadn't made a ruling yet, but that just came out that schools like us, St. Cloud, schools that are Division II with Division I hockey can opt in if they so choose. So that's also on the table. But yeah, it's certainly a different world. It's changed, obviously, with the addition of the CHL players. To me, it's like a bigger transfer portal.
Yeah.
You know, the pool's bigger, which is great, I think, for everybody. I do think in some ways it's good for, you know, some of those younger players to not have to make decisions on whether to, you know, play in the USHL or BC League and at a young age to keep their college eligibility open. So, but there's still a lot of things I think that, you know, time will tell, right? You know, where is that going to go? How is it going to help schools? You know, there's just a lot of things I think that we need some time to see how it's all going to shake out, but certainly a lot different world than what I started with.
Well, exactly. You know, I mean, they talk about, you know, football and basketball, about it's more bidding wars and recruiting now, and it's like you're dealing with a professional athlete.
Yeah, you know, it's certainly a lot different at the football and basketball level than it is at hockey. I mean, obviously, it's creeping into hockey, especially with some of the NIL stuff. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. Again, you can get good players, but you don't know if they're going to be here year to year. You know, it used to be, well, if you had good players, you know, the real good players might not last for 4 years because they might sign. Now you got good players, and you know, if they don't like something, they can go to a different school and try something new. And matter of fact, they could probably play at four different schools in 4 years if they want, which to me is crazy. But again, it's a little bit more challenging. You know, you want to build relationships with these players when they, you know, when you recruit them, when they're here, and you want to see them leave your program and move on to, you know, either pro hockey or whatever they're doing in their life. And sometimes you don't get that chance in today's world.
Hey, Scott, Eddie here, and these guys are pretty serious questions, and we try to keep it a little bit lighter around here, so I'll lighten it up a little bit. So last night, if I heard right, during the you were busy winning a hockey game, and on the flip side, our alma mater was busy getting smoked out in Denver, but they were, I think the guy named Dave Starman was actually brave enough to state, well, Brian Riley's retiring, Frank Saratori may be waiting for, and Sandlin in Duluth. What the hell's the rumors with you in Duluth? Can you clear that one up for me? In retiring, I don't know how that one got in there with Dave Starman, Scotty. So help me out, would you?
I'm not sure either. I don't. Maybe
he also mentioned about two other coaches. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if Frank wants to retire either. He's got a pretty good gig going.
I don't think anybody wants Dave Starman coaching, but it looks to me like he's trying to work his way into the college hockey world again. Scotty, what do you think?
If you don't know, ask Eddie. He knows.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not planning to be like Jerry York. I mean, I know that, but no, I'm still enjoying it. I mean, it's certainly, you know, it gets a little frustrating at times, but that's why you coach, right? I mean, there's different challenges every year, and obviously, again, like we talked about the college sports landscape, that's changed, so that changes a lot of things, and you know, you're learning to adapt to all that stuff, and. You know, we're not a school that we don't have the money the Big Ten schools have. And, you know, that's okay. We never did and we never will. And, you know, we've always, you know, managed to survive and have success. And we're going to continue to do the same thing. And hopefully we can, you know, stay on their heels. And, you know, that's a big part of it. It shouldn't be the biggest part of it. But, you know, that's why I go back to what we were talking about, our young players, right? You know, they love to be here. I mean, we've got obviously three kids. Their dads played here. They're special kids. They grew up with this program, and it means a lot to them. And those are the kids you want in your program. And, you know, if you get those types of kids throughout your lineup, you got a chance to have success. And it doesn't mean you're going to win championships, but you're going to have success because, you know, they're vested in the program, and they want to be here, and they want to make the program as good as it possibly can be. And those are the kids that we try and recruit, and it's never easy, but we're going to keep trying to find them and keep building with those types of players.
You know, with the NIL, with the transfer from Canada to the U.S. and all over, I just hope we don't lose, Scott, the young kid in Hermantown, Minnesota, Minot, North Dakota, kid in Bismarck who always wanted to be a bulldog. You know, where the kids grow up playing squirts and mites and termites and bantams, always aspiring to play for their team, you know. And I hope we don't in the college hockey world lose that ability.
Well, yeah, I mean, time will tell, Jeff. I mean, you know, certainly there's options for kids, you know. I mean, those kids up until this, you know, CHL ruling, you know, never, some kids considered it, but a lot of kids didn't go. And that tide was changing too, because there used to be, you know, there was different cycles of it where there was Minnesota kids going to those CHL teams or the Western League and trying it. And those numbers kept going down because college hockey became, you know, as strong as it is. And I still think we're in a really good spot, but time will tell. Time will tell. I mean, kids can look at that and keep college eligibility open now. So, again, you know, there's a lot of things that you need some time with. You know, the portal's been in place. You know, we're still adjusting to that. This is going to take, you know, a year or two to kind of see how everything shakes out. And I think it's going to help some programs, and I think some programs are going to make mistakes, just like I think with the portal. You know, we know what we want to do. We have a plan with what we want to do, and other schools have their plan, and that's what you have to go with.
We got a little time here, but a quick prediction. USA and Canada tonight. I got Canada 10-0. What do you think of the score?
I got USA 4-3.
I know this. If Canada doesn't win 10-0, they'll kick them out of Canada and they're going to send them down to Boston.
Oh, you're just playing against the 11th province. You're okay.
Coach Scott Sandlin from Minnesota Duluth. Go ahead.
I wish the Canada-U.S. game was tomorrow so I could watch it.
Exactly.
Yes. Hey, get out and sweep Arizona State tonight, Coach.
Thanks, Scott.
Well, that's the plan. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Scotty.
Yes, you too. Take care.
We'll be back on the Hockey Guys. Gateway Chev, our period sponsor here, where you can get say big money on Chev, Silverado, Equinox, or Blazer. Go online at FargoChevrolet.com.
Take it away, Big Eddie.
Hey, thank you. Red Pepper. We all know Red Pepper. Halstenson, Askew Wealth Management, Carpet World, Welton's Tire Service, Dakota Refrigeration, Bagan Strinden, Matt Winkles, and the Fargo Forest. We appreciate you being regular weekly sponsors here on the Hockey Guys. And I like Mr. Sandlin's answer to the last question, which was there's lots of rumors out there. And for a traditionalist, Alan, you understand this a little bit different than some of us sitting here. But for a traditional hockey coach, I sense that Scotty's wearing a little bit different than he was when he went into college coaching. So lots of folks today maybe watching and saying, hey, what's going on? Navigating the world of college hockey is, I don't know that you can have a degree in that anymore.
Oh, people can move around. Like you talked about Jerry York, still one of the best public speakers I've ever heard from Boston. You know, but I don't know. You get a little older, you know, you find out, you evaluate different things. Family, it's more of a challenge. You know, you get the younger coaches, a lot of energy, and I'm not saying that Scott don't have energy, but it's a lot of work. It's a full-time job. You're going all the time. Elliot, you make me smile when I go, oh, last night I was in Selkirk. Well, you might as well go to Australia and recruit because it's the same distance, right? It's a car ride. You know, what's your thoughts? You're busy like crazy. You got a beautiful wife and a young child. You know, it's busy.
Do you also bring your ice auger and your fishing pole up?
There's no fish in Selkirk.
Yeah, no, I haven't had time to do that this year. But, yeah, no, it's a lot of miles this year, you know, going all the way to Idaho for the NCDC, and then obviously seeing USHL games, North American NA3 games, USPHL games, Manitoba, Saskatchewan League, North American League. So, yeah, just the player pool is kind of growing for the D3 level, you know, and then you got ACHA as well, which is growing like crazy. So, you know, helping kids finding teams with that too. So it's, it's every year you're going to see more and more growth for at the NCAA level and the ACHA level.
Say, Eddie, I should say this to Will. See, you know one way, Dean, you get all your questions in? Because you can barely speak with Eddie here, right? So you go, Coach Scott Sandlin, I got 10 questions for you. The first question is, second question is, right? You got that figured out, buddy.
Well, you learn from professionals. I work with Sam with WDAY with the Color for State Hockey Tournament, which is coming up real quick here, and taught me a few tricks of the trade. You know, Addison's learning to shut Eddie's mic off, you know, and then I can add my questions in there. So it works a little bit. But, yeah, be more precise and a couple bullets and shoot it out.
It was sure nice to hear that Scott actually got given the answer that you gave him before you asked the question, Jeff, being the typical attorney you are.
Well, I'm just trying to ask some leading questions, you know. You know, Scott, it's early in the morning still, right?
You got to be careful when you deal with those guys that are native.
What?
What?
Elliot gets it. Hey, hang out in Waro, do you understand what being native is?
I wish I really grew up with you guys. I would have put you on the merry-go-round and spun that bugger so
we
hard.
We did
you
have
guys,
a merry-go-round.
You guys go airborne.
Hey, it was in the front yard. Grandpa took it from the school because he knew that we'd grow up and learn how to hold on if he brought it home. They banned it from the school and ended up in my dad's front yard.
Yeah, it would have been a deliverance up in the woods.
The old merry-go-round that
Thunder
was
Bay.
The merry-go-round that was 2 feet off the ground that had four crossbars to hold on to. Wills, we're talking back when kids knew how to like grow up and go down a slide without handrails.
We
now you have
that,
to have a rope slide. Yeah, yeah. There's lots of safety things that we didn't have as kids. And look at, we're sitting here talking about it. So we're all good.
Oh, I'm just like the snowbanks. I'm looking in the backyard here, the king of the hill, right?
So yeah. Jeff didn't want to.
Hey, we got to talk serious here.
Jeff didn't want to go here, but 701-293-9000. If you want to chirp in, if you're out there trying to chirp and try to get us to open it up, we'll let you open up. Well, there's some rumors that Brad Berry should go. So who's brave enough to call in and open that can of worms up, right, Wills?
Yeah,
they're full of.
Yeah, we can keep it call PG.
Give us your opinion on air and give us your name, right, Jeff?
Yeah, and your home address, right? And your cell phone number. No. And a social security number in there, too.
That'll never happen. That's like a high school parent chirping in all the time, and that'll never happen.
Hey, Eddie, here we are. Wilson and I are planning our summer fishing trip. So if there's anyone out there
I want to see somebody that has a boat for you two to fit in.
Oh, we're getting one. It's something with a T, Titanic, something like that. But listen, we're going to go up to Dryden, Ontario, and fish with Wilson's cousin. He's got a secret lake that is absolutely incredible. That's the cliff where Wilson jumped off of completely naked as he was a thin Brazilian guy.
I think
you should reach out to Izzy Marvin up and let his daughter take you out, probably the greatest fishing guide on Lake of the Woods. Why would you go into Dryden, Jeff? You might not you have to disclose if you have any things in your history. You got to be careful. You may not be allowed in Canada anymore.
Can I explain why? All right, here Wilson said there's going to be a big party at his cousin's house. There's going to be a women's softball team there, and I'm like, hey, I'm there, right? So here we are, 12-hour drive to Dryden, Ontario. I couldn't wait to get there for the women's softball party.
Addison,
right?
Are you in control of the mics?
And there,
it'd be a
there
good time was, to shut Jeff's off.
There wasn't a female player there.
Hey,
that was 50 pounds that was 50 pounds lighter than me. They were all pushing about 300 pounds.
Be nice.
But cute. They're really cute, Wills.
Hey, be nice. Be nice, right, Wills?
But they know how to make pierogies and
hey, be
all
nice.
That. Yeah. Nephila soup.
And- hey, Elliot, jump in here, would you?
If you're going to Dryden, you got to bring Coach Olam. That's where he played juniors at.
There you go.
Yeah, he might bring you to his old stopping ground.
What are the Wolves? I can't remember now. Is it?
They were Ice Dogs back then.
Ice Dogs, yeah. They still are, aren't they? Yep. Ice Dogs, yeah. Yep. My cousin, actually, they billed it out a couple guys. So,
Mr. Bates, real quick, what were your thoughts when you heard Coach Sandlin talking about the environment? I saw you smiling. So you saw yourself in a similar light as he is when he talked about the bigs and the littles, right? So mm-hmm. Is that what you were kind of thinking? Hey.
I was just kind of putting my, just from his perspective, there's definitely some similarities, but, obviously a lot of differences, but it's just they're going to have some tough decisions coming their way this offseason just with the portal's going to be probably the craziest it's ever been and, just with the player pool and, how many of these guys from Canada actually want to come down and play college too. Not all of them do, but it's just – there's going to be a lot of learning between both levels, and it's going to be happening here pretty quick. A lot of exit interviews coming in the next month, and a lot of quick changes. So,
and guys from Thunder Bay aren't very good with accountability, we've learned.
Well, they're even revisiting about high school now, about kind of an open portal. They have to sit out a calendar year. They're talking about revisiting it. Do they shorten that up? And I don't like that direction.
If it keeps kids in North Dakota playing high school hockey, they have to look at it.
Well, it's
you're
good.
Losing all your players out of North Dakota to go places to play, and those kids should realize they can keep playing high school hockey in North Dakota where they keep getting developed and they don't have to leave to go to junior. So be careful when you say don't open that door.
That's a wrap for today's show.